Oh, when Sister Rosemarie Daniel used to sing that one. That is good. That's a message that the Holy Spirit was in for sure when it was written. Amen. What a blessing. Appreciate it very much. Well, we appreciate Brother Chris standing in for Brother Cruz. Brother Ogden doing the choir this morning. I don't know what happened to Brother Cruz. He went up to Georgia and got a taste of it. Must have went back. So I don't know. I'm joking. I think he told me, but don't press me for details. I'm not sure right now. But anyway, good to be in God's house. Good to see you this morning. Kind of going along with the song, I guess. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I read one time where a great old preacher by the name of John Bunyan that wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I read where it said that at the end of his life and folks were talking to him. He'd spent the 12 years in the Bedford jail and all that, but God had used him so mightily. And people came to hear him and were blessed by it. And they asked John about it, and he said, I just preached the Bible, but I preached how I felt. He said, I always, most preachers will do that. They may try to dodge that, but they'll do that a little bit. And it's just human nature for us to do it. And this morning, maybe I'm preaching a little bit to myself here in this first chapter, 1 Peter. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about trying our faith. Not yours, not mine, but ours. Faith is a word that kind of embodies maybe the doctrinal package we believe from the Scripture. These debates we've been having, you'll hear somebody say he was a good family man, he's loyal to his faith. Well, that's good. True to his faith, that's good. Then the question comes, is his faith true? That's kind of important too, you know. There's a lot of folks got a false faith. They believe, but they believe it in the wrong thing. And that's religion to a great degree. A great big host of people on this earth have faith, but they have it in the wrong thing. There's a difference. But here in the text, I'm not going to put much in context here with Peter. He is writing to believers, no doubt about that. And strangers, he said, scattered abroad in throughout Pontus, Galatia in verse 1. And coming on down, I want you to pick it up in verse 3 with me and read a few verses together with me. Says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Folks, we're living in this season right here. Now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, time would not allow to expound all the good truth there. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. But I want to come back to verse 7, and we want to kind of deal with that this morning. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe Peter is talking here just about the common trials of life. The things that are coming in the struggle of life, he's going a little bit beyond that. Now, those things are real. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, life itself, since the fall in the garden, there's the good side, the bad side. There is a struggle even to life itself. If a man don't do some work, he won't eat very long. That's at least what history it was. Nowadays, others feed them, but I understand things have changed. Job said that man that is born of woman, talking about the natural man, is a few days and full of trouble. Says he's born under trouble like the sparks flieth upward. Now, if you've ever had an outside fire and you watched it burn, the sparks go upward. And he said man is in that kind of a condition. So there's troubles coming to all, lost and saved, rich and poor, whoever. There is troubles that come to all. That's true. You may have been blessed. Now, I heard Stephen say that Sonia's aunt was 95 years old when she died. Sonia's got some good genes, amen. I'm joking around about that a little bit. You may live to be 95, and you may have good health, or it may break early on you. That's part of the struggle of life, or the trials of life. Age comes. Many of us in this building today, we can recognize age. By the way, there's some good things about the getting old folks. Some of you young folks don't feel too sorry for us. We've pretty much got our score totaled up, and some of you yet got to play a long time, amen? But you do take on kind of a new or a different meaning a little bit. I was thinking about, I guess it was yesterday, Stephen and Case, my grandson, we slipped away for about 2 hours and went over to Yuma Grandpa and let him look at the classic cars over at Lake Mirror in Lakeland. And quite a crowd of them over there. And you say you saw anything you wanted? Didn't see anything I could afford, that's for sure. But anyway, I kind of enjoyed that. But I had to walk around, you know, we had to walk around the lake there and look. And I got to noticing they kept gaining on me. And Case would look around and say, hear him say to his dad, he's back there. I'm plodding on, you know, trying to come. Well, there's a little different meaning now. When I hear the song in church, you know, just a closer walk with thee, I change it. Just a slower walk with thee. There's things like that. The little old chorus we sing, things I used to do, I don't do anymore. I change it. Things I used to do, I can't do anymore. Amen. And so, that's true. That time's coming. You're going to get a little older, and you're going to get maybe a little weaker, and your health is going to break and all. But that's still common trials. Peter's not just talking about what comes down the regular road of life. But he's talking about, I believe, here some particular trials that will try our faith, that will test our faith, test whether or not we're going to keep on practicing what we've been saying for years we believe. I've noticed we had some trouble here in the last few weeks with our ministry, and I have noticed the fair weather crowd kind of look skeptical at us and run. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Did you think this was heaven? You sure have been deceived if you thought it was. I got news for you. Men are still sinners. Sin still happens. Judgment still falls, and bad times do come. But what are you going to do with your faith when that happens? If I were to have you turn over to the prophet Daniel, a tremendous portion over there. At the end of the book, Daniel has had great visions. He's seen history written in advance. He's seen the end times. He's predicted those. But over in the last chapter of the book, Daniel still has questions. He's still asking things, and God doesn't give him the whole answer. Book of Revelation answers a lot, as it takes kind of off where Daniel left off, but God kind of told Daniel, said, Daniel, just don't worry about it. Just go stand in your lot for the end of the days. Your watch is over, is basically what he was saying. And he said to him in verse 10, a verse here, the last chapter of Daniel says, many shall be purified. You know what? During all the time from Daniel on, many are going to be saved. Many are going to have their sins forgiven. Many are going to be justified before the Lord. Many shall be purified and made white. And I wish this last word had not been put in here. But here it is. They're going to be purified, made white, and what? Tried. Tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Now, can't we testify to that? And none of the wicked shall understand. I can testify to that. But the wise shall understand. And I can testify to that. Sometime I'd like for that crowd to be bigger. But it is real. The wise will understand. Mainly they'll understand because of the Word of God, of course. But what does it say? Purified and made white and tried. You're not going to get through this world, even as a believer, without being tried. It's going to happen. Your faith is going to be tried. There are going to be trials concerning your faith. Let me talk about a little bit of it this morning. And not trying to beat you down or make you feel worse when you leave church. Maybe some folks here today in some great trials and hurting in some trials. Maybe out in radio land. I got news for you. It does happen. It will happen. But what will it do to your faith? Will it shake it up? Will you cast it aside? Or will you allow your faith to see you through it? Begin with, I want to say we're going to be tried by the world. Now, I'm talking about believers outside of the Christian faith, and they really, the devil uses them to a degree as our outside enemy. Did you notice when you got saved that your friends, maybe you graduated with, maybe you worked with, maybe even your family looked at you a little different? If you really got saved, they look at you different. I guarantee you they will. And the world out there, suddenly when you get saved, you become a misfit. In a sense, you become an alien on a foreign planet. Because this place is not heaven, amen? That's been true down through history, the world. And it's growing worse every day because there's an anti-God spirit that's been growing, an anti-Christ spirit. And you can see the examples. I mean, you can't turn on the TV, you can't read a paper today without some kind of anti-God message showing up here or there, everywhere you look. If you saw this week, one of the federal judges dropped the law, changed the law, said it was no longer any good. It was unconstitutional to have a marriage act. So now he said it could no longer say that marriage was between a man and a woman. Now what does that mean? According to the literal language he changed, maybe you could marry a horse. Some of you think you have. Or a donkey like Jesus rode on. You use whatever word you want to for him. All joking aside, when it's not a man and a woman, what is it? Well, down in Brazil, they are just now going to recognize that it can be more than one partner and still call it a marriage. You see, what's happening is the law of God that this nation was founded on is being destroyed. And it opens the door to everything. And what you're seeing is this anti-God spirit. You saw it in the news this week. I think the governor of Texas stood up and some others, but they were taken to cheerleaders in Texas to court for having a banner with scripture on it when the ball team come running out of the dugout on the ball field. They were trying to stop them from having a printed verse of scripture on the banner. See, it's gone crazy. I saw in another school district where they could no longer have a father and son activity or a mother and daughter activity because that was discriminating against the homosexuals or against even a single parent. Now that's junk. They're hating the fact that God established marriage and that's God's law. They hate every bit of God's law, and that's the world out there. Now, the truth is, while we resist that, and even a lot of good common lost men out there would say that marriage thing is wrong and that homosexual thing is wrong, I understand that they will. But for believers, a more subtle attack has been working, and it has been working on us. Remember how the serpent in the garden was more subtle than any of the rest? How that the devil used that subtlety to seduce Eve in the garden and to bring the sin in the garden. You remember the story. Well, you see, faith today is being tested socially. And a lot of folks listening to me right now that say amen to what I just said about the marriage thing. If you're not careful, you'll have social pressure put on you to where nobody in your office even knows you're a Christian. Nobody on the job you work with knows you're a Christian. Your neighbor don't know you're a Christian. The crowd you go around and have some activities with don't even know you're a Christian because you don't want the social pressure against you. And see, the devil's using that and gaining more with that than he is with a lot of the open attack. And folks, that's the sad story of the day that we live in, I fear. And it's a subtle attack, and it's working today. Now, in verse 6 here, above the text of verse 7, we find that Peter said is a particular time, a season of heaviness through manifold temptations. Look, these early Christians also were under attack. They had pressure put on them. And manifold temptations. Now, we live in a day and time today when temptations, brother, are of the world. There's more glitter in the world. There's more gimmicks in the world. There's more worldly fame sought after probably than any other time in Christian history. And we see an increase in these things. I mean, the gimmicks alone almost keep us from the old-fashioned way. I heard Stephen talking in Sunday school about people not studying the Word of God. Well, they don't hardly have time for it. They got all the electric buttons to push and all the gimmicks to enjoy. Now, this didn't take God by surprise. In that same book of Daniel, he said that last days and knowledge would be increased. That's your computer age. Boy, how it's multiplying. And many would run to and fro. Talking about inventions, I saw, in fact, I stuck it in my Bible, see if I can find it. I saw where, and this caught my eye because I kind of keep up with cars a little bit. I got a picture here. California legalizes self-driving cars. And it's the third state to do so. By the way, Florida's the third one, already has. 300,000 miles been tested without a wreck. And these cars are, it's Google, you know that word, don't you? Google's in charge with all the electronic equipment on this car. Now, that's what it means is you can get in that car and it'll drive itself without any hands, without a foot on the accelerator or on the brake. And they test them in California and three or four other states now are saying they're going to get them. Oh, by the way, I've seen them, haven't you? I followed some women that had no hand on the wheel. They were putting lipstick on in the mirror. Let that thing drive itself, man. I followed one around the corner from the post office down 10th Street. I think she was doing four things at one time. That car was just wobble one side of the road to us and what'd you do? I done what any smart man would do. I slowed up and backed off. Amen. Now, I'm just simply joking a little bit about it, but hey, this is a sign of the times. Old preacher several years ago, and I didn't take him too seriously. He said, God gave him a dream. Now, I believe in the Word of God ahead of dreams. You know that. And if a dream don't line up with the Word, better throw the dream out. Amen. But he dreamed years ago, he said, God showed me what it would be like at the rapture, when the rapture was coming. And he named two or three things that have been fulfilled. But one of the things he named was there will be cars on the road without drivers. That people will be in the car doing other things. They'll even have their back to the windshield. And they'll be like a little card table or something in there. And they're all, and the car's just going on, stopping, drive by himself. I thought, boy, he had a wild dream. Might not have been as wild as I thought. Jesus is coming. I believe that, don't you? And all these things and all this technology that keeps doubling and doubling and doubling. Daniel already said it'd be that way. And I'm just simply saying, though, where we at today, we got the world tempting us with new things. This glitters, that glitters, a little bit of the applause of the world. I've never seen folks go so crazy over wanting recognition one way or the other, every way they can. It's amazing. The computer age has brought that on to a great degree. I've seen a bumper sticker. You have, too. Seen the bumper sticker that said, he with the most toys wins. That's not right. Oh, no. Toys cause a lot of folks to be losers. I'm not talking about kids' toys either. Amen. If I were to get you to go over, I'm thinking over 1 Timothy chapter 5, 6, chapter 6, I believe it is. I want you to listen to me if you can't get there quick enough. Chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, listen to it. He's talking about a time that's coming when some will suppose, watch this, supposing that gain is godliness. Do you understand just because you get a bunch of junk of this world, you got to leave it all behind? And that junk may not increase your godly walk with God. It may take you away from God. And gain is not godliness, but verse 6 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, we need to get a hold of that, folks, because even we that are believers have got to watch out for the glitter of the world. We got to watch out for the worldly attractions. Just amazing what we see today. Yeah, we're going to have our faith tried by the world. You know what Jesus said about that in John chapter 16, verse 33 over there? He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. Didn't maybe, but you will. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what he said. Book of James says it's to not be a friend with the world. That friendship with the world is enmity with God. 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. The truth is, we are warned to not let the world steal our faith, make us put our faith in the back closet somewhere, to give it up, because we see even bad things happening, or generally it's good things that'll take our faith, that'll try our faith and cost us our faith if we're not careful. And we'll be tried by the world. By the way, we'll be tried by flesh and the devil. I'm lumping them together because the devil uses the flesh on us. Say, what's the flesh? Well, reach over and pinch yourself. It's you. It's this outside carcass, this outside body. That's us. And we're going to be tried by the flesh and the devil. If I were to go over to 1 John again, chapter 2, and pick it up in verse 16. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, all now, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, three items there. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Do you know everything that tempts you will tempt you in those areas? Every time you'll be tempted in those areas. You see, that started with the devil in Genesis chapter 3 with Mother Eve. What did he say? He showed her the forbidden fruit. What happened with Eve? She looked on it. Lust of the eyes. She saw it was good to eat. Lust of the flesh. The devil said, you can do it and you'll be wise. Pride of life. All three areas that we are warned about that was used on Eve in the garden is still used on us today. How many folks fall because of one of those three things or all combined? Pride of life is one of the big ones in there, of course. And we look around today and we can see that the devil's still using that. Sure is. 1 Peter, I'm right here in it. Go with me to chapter 4. Just flip over a little bit to chapter 4 and pick it up. Just using the Bible. I know it's strange for some of you in church, but 1 Peter chapter 4. Pick it up with me in about verse 15. And it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Interesting that busybodies get thrown in with murderers and thieves, isn't it? In verse 15, just a little hint there. But what does Peter say? Let none of you do that. Don't suffer because of that. Don't hurt because you've done wrong like that. Then in verse 16, it changes the street a little bit when it says, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of your Christian faith because somebody's persecuting you because you're a Christian? Well, they're gossiping about me, preacher, because I'm saved. Well, amen. Amen and amen. Don't be a word about that. It says, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, truth is, Peter's warning Christians about not suffering as an evildoer. Do you know it can rain on the just and unjust alike? But I'll tell you something else. A lot of times sowing and reaping kicks in, and a lot of believers bring their own trouble on themselves. I'm amazed as a preacher through the years how I'd stand up here at this pulpit and preach on the results and consequences of sin, preach right from wrong, preach the Bible, and have folks that listen go right out and try it and then reap the results. And then woe is me. Preacher, get your wand out. Come, let take care of my problems. I want to say sometime, how'd you get in that mess? How'd you get in that hog pen? How'd you fall in that mud hole? Wasn't you warned? Didn't the Bible? Well, hey, God hadn't said a thing in this book that's not true. And he is going to deal with you when you disobey him. No doubt about it. Yes, we love and thank God for his grace, but the truth of the matter, there's some sowing and reaping goes on. A lot of folks claim they're victims and they're self-made victims. No doubt about it. But it hurts us today, flesh and the devil. The devil uses the temptations against the flesh. I understand that. And he tries us. And it hurts today to see the devil's side winning. You've heard me preach enough to know in our country I'm upset with it. I'm upset we can't admit who the enemy is. I'm upset that we had our ambassador killed in Libya and we won't even call it what it is. That we cover it up. That we had an attack on New York. The FBI, thank God, intervened and caught it. But why in the world can't we remember and understand and learn from the past and know that there's a satanic so-called religion wanting to destroy America, and yet we can't admit it? All kind of covers-ups. We're giving up free speech to cover up for them. I saw where Army man, 25 years, teaching material to the soldiers, is losing his position, being rebuked, because the Muslim organizations have petitioned to have the material he's using, teaching about them, censored. I saw where the second time they've had a rally in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood having their meetings in our capital. Amazing, folks, that we're allowing this kind of stuff. Amazing this is happening. And the cover-ups that are going along with it just blows my mind. By the way, even this election, they say the UN is going to send, now the United Nations, most of them aren't even democratic nations. Many of them are dictatorships. But they're going to send 48 inspectors to go to our voting booths in America to see if we're going to vote honest. Oh, don't show up at mine. Mm-mm. I can't understand that stuff. By the way, the states have a right to stop them if the federal government don't. And I hope every governor and every sheriff in every state will say, get away from there. Got no business around my voting booth. But that's where we move. That's the one world plan of the devil. Put the one world government together and all that. But you know, when I see all that, what am I going to do? Am I going to say, well, I just give up? Too many of God's people are doing that. It's not going to cost me my faith. I got news for you. Brother, if it ought to be anything, you ought to run deeper and stronger into what you know is your faith and what you know is truth, and go by the Bible and not let that stuff shake us up. Amen. Oh, yeah. Folks, we're winners. Amen. We're winners. Yeah. You know what that means? That means when I stand before God, I win because my sins have been forgiven. Amen. Because Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid for Mickey Carter's sins on the cross. And God accepted that payment because he raised him from the dead. And the truth is, when I stand before God, whether I left here with a home, whether I left here with any money, whether I left here any clothes behind or anything, it don't matter, brother. It's what I'm going to that matters. And when I step into his presence and find my sins are paid for, which the book has told me and I know in my heart, I'm a winner. Let them run wild if they want to. I'm saved, brother, and heaven is my home. You're not going to get me down when I think about that. My sins have been forgiven. Man, can you think? Not only that, this old flesh is going to be changed. Be a day comes that I can never displease my Lord again in this fleshly body. Never a time it'll be too tired to work for God. Never a time the tongue will slip up and say the wrong thing. Never a time when a fleshly mind will think the wrong thing. I'll never displease my God again because I'm going to get this old flesh changed. Brother, it's going to drop off like an old dead robe, and I'm going to become a new and shining creature like Jesus was after the resurrection, and that is victory. That makes me a winner. On top of that, my arch enemy, the devil, is going to the pit. He's going in the fire. He is a defeated foe. Don't let him lie to you today and shake up your faith. He's not winning. You're the winner in Jesus Christ. My, how we need to get our chins up and our minds thinking straight and not let the devil deceive us. Amen. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you can't say that, but you could if you'd receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be a winner in Him. You're not a winner in yourself. You're not a winner in your flesh. You can only win through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, our faith is going to be tried by the world. It's going to be tried by the flesh and the devil, but this is going to shake us a little bit. Our faith is tried by God Himself. Go to the book of Job. Didn't Job go through a trial? Don't go to it now, I'm out of time, but just remember this. Job didn't have a Bible. So what's the difference? Well, if you have a Bible, you know how the end is going to turn out. Job didn't know that. Job was reasoning and best he could and getting bad advice from his friends and all of that, but he did not know the end. You and I do know the end. Amen. And that makes a difference in the journey we're making. We know how it's going to end up. God let Job be tested. That's what scares us a little bit, isn't it? God allowed Satan to bring on the troubles on Job. But let me say this. Think about it. Did God have a purpose with Job? Yes, He did. If God hadn't had a purpose, you and I wouldn't be referencing Him this morning. We wouldn't know about it. The end of Job, even on this earth, God made double, better than all he had before. How many hurting Christians have gotten comfort from Job? How many of us going through trials have said God took care of Job? How many of us like Job have said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Amen. See what I'm saying? God had a purpose with Job. And he's got a purpose with you and I. I don't know what trial you might be going through today, but I know what this text said. Look at it. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Do you know that whatever trouble you got today is precious to God? The trial is precious to God more than gold tried in the fire. Precious to God. Lord, can my disease be precious to you? Scripture says yes, if you belong to Him. Can my troubles and my hurt and my misunderstanding and the blame I'm getting unfairly, God, can that be precious to you? He says it is. More precious, the trial that we're going through, more precious than of gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire. And what's His purpose? Here it is. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you mean, Lord, this is going to bring you more praise and more glory because I'm hurting like I am? That's what it says. That's what it says. He didn't miss it. It's precious. In the long run, He'd make praise and glory out of it. See, folks, our trials will make us better or bitter. I won't mind to make me better. Now, I thank the grace of God. I haven't had trials like some folks. But you know what? God had to allow that. He had to allow it with Job. He allows it with you. Somehow, that we can't see yet, God can make good out of it and will make good. That's His promise. So don't cast your faith aside. Don't say, this happened to me and I trusted God and God let me down. Oh, no. God may be saying to the devil or whatever, he's saying, I believe that child right there can deal with that. How's it going to turn out? The Bible tells us for good. For good. For good to them that love God. God's making good out of it, Romans 8:28. Wonderful truth and hard truth to believe. Hard truth to believe. Are you getting older? Are you getting more feeble? Are you getting sick? Are you getting sicker? That takes care of a lot of folks listening. But hey, it's those health problems may be common to man, but the trials you're going through, how do you cope with them? Do you cope with them in your faith? Or do you start doubting God and turning, not trusting Him? I tell you what, most of us in here, various ones that have different stories. Many would have stories where, like Job, they've come out better on the other end. And they'd look back in hindsight and say, God did bless, and thank God I still trust Him, and I He didn't let me down. That'd be the testimony of so many of us, wouldn't it? The truth of the matter is, don't cast your faith aside. Don't be a castaway and wind up on the shelf. Don't be a quitter before the end of the race. Amen? I don't know whatever your trial is today. I don't know why I was born in a good family and healthy, but grace of God. There's some not born that way. I think about a story, a true story. A church that one of its ministries had turned out to be a ministry to children that were born, and I'm using the word deaf and dumb. Now, they're not dumb in the sense of dumb, but that's couldn't speak, not speak. Deaf and couldn't speak. There was quite a few of them in this school. It was older days and pretty well church run. One day, a visiting preacher came to speak to them. Now, sign language and interpreting going on, but here was his message. His message to them was, and he was trying them that day. He was testing them that day. As he got before that class, he said, look at you. You're not normal. You don't stand a chance in life. He looked at him and he said, you can't hear and you can't speak. What do you think's going to happen to you? He kept on browbeating them. He said, people are going to laugh at you and look down on you as you get out in the world. He said, it's just terrible that God let you be born this way. And he was just browbeating them. He was doing it on purpose. Tears begin to come out of the eyes of those little boys and girls. Some of them begin to look down and seem to be in shame. And he kept beating on them that way. Some of the sounds they could make would have made you know that they were hurting, gurgling out a sob. He finally got to the end and said, now what do you think about all that? What do you think about all that? One little girl touched my heart when I read it. One little girl got up and walked to the chalkboard, and she wrote the last statement that you'd find in Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 21. And that answer she wrote on the board was this: even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Think about what she said. My trial's okay. The Father knows about it. My trial's okay. It come from God. My trial's okay. It seemed good in His sight. So if it was good in His sight, it's okay with me. My, if we could be like that. If we could really be like that. Really trust God that way. I ask you this morning, I don't know what your trials are, but I suspect there's some. Whatever the trial is, if it's from the world, the devil, the flesh, or even if you believe it's from God, trust Him anyhow. On the other side, Paul said the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. No comparison. No comparison. I ask you this morning, and I preach more to us that believe, whatever your troubles are, can you trust God with them? He'll see you through. Just don't cast away your faith. Amen. I hope that you understand what I was trying to say this morning. If you're here and you're unsaved, I want to tell you, if you're going to be a winner, you've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one can forgive your sin. He's the only one can write your name in heaven. He'll do that for you this morning if you'll come and receive him. I pray you will. And I pray if you're a believer here today and the trial's getting you down, you don't understand the test, turn it over to God today. Maybe come to the altar and tell him. Tell him in your heart, but mean it. Will you do it? I pray you will. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please.